In a piece that he wrote for BizNews Premium last week, R.W. Johnson explained that Cyril Ramaphosa's myopia could cost South Africa dearly. We're going to explore a little more with the political scientist this morning. Mr. Johnson, as always, you got us thinking. The article that you wrote, in essence, said if you don't plan now for what is likely to happen in 2024, Mr. Ramaphosa, you're going to let the country down quite badly. Perhaps we could start with the scenario of an ANC-EFF coalition. You still believe that that's the way that South Africa is heading in 2024?
Well, it does look as if the ANC is heading towards that. It's obviously their key fallback, and the EFF is making as much noise as it can to show that it's taking the same attitude over Russia, Ukraine as the ANC, which is a strong signal to the Russians that, you know, they are an acceptable coalition partner. The point that I was making really is that an ANC-EFF government is hardly a viable option at all, because given the extremism of the EFF platform and their record in various ways, both in sort of thuggery and violence and very violent rhetoric and even, you know, getting involved in bank theft and so on, the VBS bank, is such that I think it would immediately trigger a flight of capital and financial panic, and that, you know, this would destabilize the system very quickly, and that is, the longer, if they really did have such a government, that would go on and get worse. And I think that very quickly, the situation would simply run out of control of the Treasury and the Reserve Bank, and we might well be forced into an emergency deal with the IMF or whatever. But I simply don't think that's a viable option. That the problem about it is that it's being looked at in a very parochial way by ANC people who would find it easier to do a deal with the EFF because they're all African nationalists together. But that's not really what counts in this situation. And of course, it's a crazy situation where we've got to the point we have because the African Nationalist Project has completely failed. We can see that all around us. And so the most stupid thing of all to do would be to double up and go for, as it were, African nationalism to the power of two, which is what you would get from such a government. So I don't think that is a viable option.
And if you were sitting in the union buildings right now, presumably you should be making plans to avoid that nightmare scenario. And I'm very pleased that you've unpacked that, because many of the politicians tell us a nightmare scenario would be ANC-EFF coalition. Many people in the country, citizens, are saying it would be a crazy situation for the country and the value of their assets would be significantly impaired. But no one seems to be planning for this if they're in the union buildings. And that really was the thrust of your article.
That's right. And I think that the alternative, an ANC-DA coalition, is also not without major problems, because it would be resisted, certainly by the EFF. You would get a lot of violence in the streets saying we can't have that, selling out the revolution and so forth. And they would be joined by COSATU and SACP, who would see that as the way that they would be losing leverage within the Triple Alliance. So that would also be a very major political crisis for Ramaphosa to deal with, one way or the other. But the worry that I had, of which you're alluding to, is that if something like this happens, that Ramaphosa, given his track record, is likely to then start going in for lengthy consultations. And that cannot be afforded, because what will be needed is a crisp, quick decision. And to follow that through and to make sure that the constitution works like clockwork and so forth. Because if that happens, then quite a lot of ANC people will have lost their jobs, both MPs and even ministers, and there will be a lot of unhappiness and so on. But so the more that everything is done saying, well, this is the way the Constitution orders it, therefore that's what's going to happen, that would make it more understandable and more acceptable, I think. But if he sits around and dithers, which is the way he normally behaves, then all the things that I was talking about with the EFF coalition would also happen, because the government, the country would not know which way it was going. There would be capital flight, etc., etc., and think the situation would quickly run out of control as well. So we cannot afford for Ramaphosa to sit and dither. He's got to know what he's going to do and do it quickly, and then be very firm about it.
But can that leopard change its spots?
Well, we don't know, do we? I mean, I think that, frankly, what we need is for major interest groups in this country, in business and the Treasury and the Reserve Bank, to take this point to him well in advance of the election and say, look, it really is going to be vital that you know what your options are and that you go through them smoothly and quickly and firmly. We cannot afford anything else. And I think that's all that we can hope for.
So it's your column really is a urging to those who can see beyond the election in 2024 to start preparing themselves now, because we seem to have a president who's not doing so.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the danger is that everyone will sit around saying, oh, an ANC-EFF coalition would be too terrible, and working themselves up about that, which will happen, I suppose, but I think we all want to be more focused on solutions and, you know, what we need to happen in that situation. And, you know, the fact that the EFF favors nationalization of just about everything, the fact that they want to immediately take over all white-owned farmland, I mean, these would be so disastrous. They would create, well, there would be starvation very quickly. And we will also see, you know, a complete loss of capital and skilled labor. It would just be catastrophe. So, you know, this has to be faced. And this is not a parochial matter as to what is easier for ANC activists to put up with. That is not the right way to think about
this. Mr. Johnson, there are some other alternatives to this being proposed by various people. Perhaps we could start off with the Rob Herzog initiative, which is to try and get all of the members of the so-called Rainbow Coalition together, the DA, the IFP, ACDP, Freedom Front, of course, Action South Africa, and to get them to speak with one voice. He also wants the Patriotic Alliance in there as well, who seem to be doing pretty well in the Western Cape. What's your thoughts on that initiative?
Well, I agree that trying to build some sort of popular front of such parties is very important, and particularly, I think, for the DA, because the DA suffers from this image of being a white party, which is unfair to them, but nonetheless it exists. And this makes it very difficult for them to extend their reach into the African community. Whereas this seems to be much less true of, say, Action South Africa or the IFP or whatever. And in that sense, I think it's very much in the interest both of the DA and the broader sort of community interest for them to indeed, you know, stand with those parties and encourage people to vote for them if they're not willing to vote for the DA, because that would at least swell the overall ranks of the responsible opposition. That's asking quite a lot of the DA, I suppose, because they see the Action South Africa as a sort of real rival. As for the Patriotic Alliance, I don't really know. I tend to see them as very opportunist. I don't really trust them, and I don't know whether they really can be part of such an alliance or not. But I'm not sufficiently well informed about them, really, so maybe I should just leave it. The real problem is that even if you add them all up, it's quite difficult, in fact, very difficult, to imagine getting to 50%. Normally, they're closer to 35%. And, you know, if they had a very good election, they might get to 40 or a bit more. But I would be very surprised if they got beyond that. And that's not enough.
And within the ANC, there will have been a lot of celebration from the report that France Grenier's Social Research Foundation brought out in the past week, saying that the ANC has actually stopped sliding and is looking at over 50% if there were an election today. Have they got it on the money there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's a matter of how accurate the polling is for that. But look, what we certainly should anticipate is that the ANC are going to pull out all the stops for this election. They've already made this deal with the public servants, giving them a far bigger increase than can really be afforded. I wouldn't at all be surprised if we don't get a basic income grant. These things would be very irresponsible financially, but if it helps them win the election, they're perfectly willing to do such things. And, you know, we also have probably dirty tricks coming
from the Russians,
and Lord knows, it could be a very, very rough and difficult election campaign. And I'm absolutely sure that the ANC, as usual, will tell all the people getting social grants they'll lose their grants unless they vote ANC, and they'll use all of the sort of pressure tactics they can, so they may be able to push their vote back up towards 50. I don't rule that out as a possibility, but even so, that would still represent a big loss of support.
You mentioned the Russians in a number of our conversations to this point, and again now. There are many people in South Africa who don't understand this. Why would the Russians be involved in any way in this country, and in particular in this country's elections? Can you just unpack that for us, please?
Well, look, because of Ramaphosa's position of a sort of pro-Russian neutrality over the Russia-Ukraine war, they have made themselves really rather an important diplomatic target for Putin. He will very much want to retain that support because he's otherwise very isolated. And to have the most important, or one of the most important African countries, which in turn is also a democracy, taking that line, is a big prize for him. So he will want to keep that. And we have seen already Russia intervening all over Africa using mercenaries, using violent means, supporting coups and God knows what to get what they want, and interfering in elections using, obviously, cyber means and so forth. And they interfered in the Madagascar election. Now, I think that they're quite likely to do the same things here. They would like to keep a pro-Russian government in power, which is the way they see Ramaphosa.
And Vekselberg, the oligarch who's very close to Putin, one of the bigger funders of the ANC. I think the latest figures was 30
million. Exactly. They're already giving that very critical support to the ANC. And, at this Africa-Russian parliamentary forum last week, the Speaker of the National Assembly, Siviwe Mapisa Ngakula, she said, "We lean on Russia and we support Russia." She just kept saying, "We lean on Russia." And I think that's very important. I think the point is that, during the hardest parts of the struggle, the Russians were the strongest single supporter of the ANC cause. They supported them financially, they gave them weapons, they gave them training, and they were critical. And the ANC were enormously impressed by the strength of the Russians. And it was wonderful to have such a big, strong, powerful backer. And I think now the ANC knows it's in trouble, knows it's declining. And one of its basic instincts is, where is our great Russian ally? Because we need them again now. And that was quite clear in the way that she spoke. We lean on them and we support them. I mean, she made no bones about it. The people of South Africa support Russia. And I think that represents something very real within the ANC. And it's very ignorant in the sense that their image of Russia was based upon a rather idealized view of the Soviet Union and things in the Russian past, like their victory in the Second World War and so on, which frankly are now very, very out of date. And I don't think they have really understood what is happening with Russia at all. Russia is a disintegrating empire, and it's a country in steep decline. And it's not what they think it is, but there we are. But I do think that instinct is strong on the ANC side, and of course on the SACP and Trusati side.
And the money is flowing, clearly, from Russia, which would support whatever views one would have.
Wechselbaum is very important to them, and there could be more.
So if we have a look from where we stand today into the future, we have discussed the France Corneille assessment, we've discussed the Rob Herzog initiative. The most likely outcome of the 2024 election, as we stand right now, and I think you've told us many times before that it's a long, long way, a year in politics, but right now the most likely outcome would be ANC EFF, which for investors would be a very, very scary consequence, whether you're invested on the stock market or indeed just own your own home. How would you propose that insurance at least could be taken against this?
Well, it's very difficult to do that, isn't it? Certainly, I mean, you can't do much about your own home. And, you know, I think property values certainly would. I mean, certainly in Gauteng, they were already not in a good way, but they will be hit very badly. Perhaps less so in the Western Cape, because it might be seen as a bit of a refuge. Obviously, such a coalition would also very strongly increase the push for Western Cape autonomy. And it would increase that sort of instinct all over the country, actually. But I think that what one could well imagine is that in the run-up to the election, I would imagine a lot of people, legally or illegally, will be attempting to get their money into dollars or euros, or things like that, because they will be worried about what will happen to the rand, making sure they get out of their shares. But they will preemptively do these things. You know, they won't wait for the election result. No doubt there would be more such action then, but there'll be a general flight from South African assets. So what people who want to protect themselves will do is to make that flight sooner.
Just to close off with, my sources in KwaZulu-Natal say that Obasanjo from Nigeria was here last week and met with IFP and ANC members at the Oyster Box Hotel. My sources say there was a lot of politics being spoken, i.e. that the ANC is trying to bring the IFP into its camp. Is that a viable proposition given the differences between the parties historically?
It's not impossible, and after all, Buthelezi did serve in the ANC government for quite a long time. He was Minister of the Interior for a long time. And so, you know, this has happened before, and of course, they are, as it were, a more acceptable partner than the EFF. And I think certainly there would be people in the IFP who would find that an acceptable thing to do. So yes, I think that could well be a runner. The difficulty is that the IFP are not running they're looking more like a 5 or most 7% party at the moment, which might not be enough. But nonetheless, I think that, sure, they could be a player, coalition player. And they would not, of course, generate any of the bad vibes an EFF deal would. They would be seen as responsible and so forth. And they would also be acceptable simply because they're Africans. So I think that, yeah, that would be perfectly possible.
Would there be appetite, though, from the IFP side?
Well, I think probably there would be people in two minds about that. Some would find it more acceptable than others. I think it might still matter which way Buttigieg went, because although he's no longer party leader, he's obviously still very influential in that camp. I think we will have to wait to see which way they jump. But I would have thought that they might very well go for it.
Edge of the seat stuff, as you've called it many times before. R.W. Johnson. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.